Right, we're turning to John again, John chapter 16, and we'll commence at verse 7. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, and we read here, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for I go not away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, inviting you to join with us today as we minister on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is vital, vital for you in your walk with God, vital for every preacher to serve God. It is vital for every church to be that witness in the community for God that we all ought to be. I feel that there is too little teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I confess that it is such a confusing subject in many quarters, with the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement, the holiness movement, that has muddied the waters on these subjects. And then Presbyterians, well, sadly, they very often stay away from the Holy Spirit in case they are misunderstood. And so today it is my heart's desire to open the book and to set forth very plainly what the Bible teaches about the personal ministry of God the Holy Spirit. You will understand from this that our gospel is Trinitarian. God the Father planned the cross. God the Son, he died and suffered on that cross, making atonement. But it is now the work of the Holy Spirit to proclaim and to apply the message of the cross to the hearts of men and women. And I invite you to stay tuned with us right through the program here today as we dig into the whole subject of the personal individual ministry of the Holy Spirit to the hearts of those who are born again. Now I say born again because firstly there needs to be conviction of sin, that's the work of the Spirit. Then there needs to be conversion, that's regeneration, and that will lead on to the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. And this is exciting. We are not left in this world to live the Christian life by our rules and regulations alone, or in the flesh, or in our own strength. We are given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to empower us and to enable us to live a life we otherwise could never live. And I invite you to stay tuned with us, listen in, open your Bible as we turn to the Lord's Word to let the Bible speak on the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Father. Well, we're back in this chapter that we've been preaching on Sundays. And as I mentioned that a few Wednesdays ago, that I want to visit this section and not only do a review of some of the points I made in the Sunday message on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we want to get the theology books out and dig a little deeper. And I must say that I have gotten considerable help from one writer called Malcolm Watts. And some of what you will receive tonight, I have gleaned from him. And this subject is very vital to the Christian. It is something that perhaps we don't preach enough, something that we don't preach enough on Sundays. And I think it lends itself more to a Bible study than it does to preaching to a congregation of all interests and ages and levels of understanding in these things. So I hope tonight that we will have the Lord's help and the Holy Spirit himself will be our teacher. Now, the last meeting 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 13, that the Spirit of God, his work is to lead us into all truth. He is our teacher and our guide. And we learned about the difference between inspiration and illumination. And we have already in the Bible objective truth. It's written, it's done, it's settled, but we need help to understand it all, to take it in, to comprehend the meaning of the scriptures and spiritual things. And that's the Spirit's work, to teach us from the Word and give us a deeper grasp of the Word of the Lord. Also, as we come tonight to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his work is to reveal the Lord Jesus in a deeper and in an ongoing, progressive, fresh, blessed, sweet way that we love the Lord all the more, that our faith in him gets stronger, our views of the Lord Jesus become more blessed, and we always keep asking, how come I didn't see that before? How come I didn't grasp that about the Lord Jesus? And we'll just keep on that as the Lord teaches us. Now, ministry on the Spirit, as I mentioned a few Sundays ago, to some people, it's an uncomfortable subject. And I wonder why that is. In the Reformation time, of course, these doctrines were revived and preached. The Puritans preached extensively on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's hardly a preacher or theologian of the Puritan age that doesn't have some book or treatise or pamphlet or a sermon on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. John Owen's work is the classic. It is extensive, exhaustive, as he always is. And then John Calvin in his Institutes. As you read there, you will see countless references to the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. It is the thesis of his Institutes. And the whole application of redemption, how it gets from Calvary to me, in my heart, my life, my soul, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and much more. So it is more than just a topic that you pick up when you think about revival. Everyday ordinary Christian living requires the personal, individual, sweet ministry of the Spirit revealing and drawing us into a deeper view of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. If we're to do that, we need to know something of his ministry. We need to learn how He operates, how to invite Him. We're called upon to pray in the Spirit. And of course, as this is a prayer meeting, that really comes very fitting to our hearts this evening. Are we going to pray in the flesh or pray in the Spirit? And of course, our goal certainly is that the Holy Spirit will even guide us in our praying. Let's look up that verse in Romans 8:26, where the Holy Spirit is our teacher in prayer, guiding us in the very words and the utterances that we ought to pray. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And there is nowhere that you will find yourself weaker and more limited, infirmed, if you will, than when you come to pray. You'll wonder, well, what words do I use? How do I address God? What petitions? What am I to ask for? What is spiritual and what is carnal praying? We're not here tonight to pray that we become millionaires overnight. We're not here tonight to pray that we get some rare thing that nobody really enjoys in this world but us. No, that would be carnal. And of course, there's gospel praying. And we talked before about praying on redemption ground. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us in the very asking and the supplicating as we come to pray. Now, just again by introduction, the Holy Spirit is referred to in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And in that chapter, you have the most practical, very elevated, but very practical teaching about husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, submit to your husband. These are great needs in our homes, in our marriages. And by the way, Beulah and I are celebrating our 42nd anniversary today. Right today. And we want to thank the Lord for 42 years of wedded bliss and all His mercies and goodness to us. And we know that without the Lord, our marriages would be in trouble. We need the help of the Lord to walk hand in hand through life and to grow together, to serve the Lord together, and to have His help and hand upon us. Now, the Holy Spirit's name, Comforter. What a very powerful name it is. Parakletos. He is called alongside. How precious, therefore, in the Christian life is this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, we're going to look at verse 14. We're going to look at these words, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now, the first thing to note is that the Holy Spirit does not add to the glory of the Lord. You can't add to the glory of the Lord. He's God. He's glorious. The Hebrew word for glory means weight. It means worthy, and He is all worthy. And so the Holy Spirit does not add to the glory of the Lord Jesus, but He shines the light upon the glory and the wonder of the Lord Jesus. Just like the sun when it shines upon a landscape. It's very different being on the top of a mountain looking down on a dull, dark, gloomy day. And when the sun is shining, you may go up there on a dark day and things are not very appealing. But whereas on a bright, beautiful blue sky day, you can look out on the same vista and it's beautiful. And when the Holy Spirit works, He reveals the beauty, the wonders that are in our Lord Jesus. And so that's the focus that He gives. Now tonight, I'm going to do something very straightforward. Number one, why the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the Son. Why Him? Why it is His work to reveal the Lord Jesus? Why is it not the Father's work? Or why does the Lord Jesus not reveal Himself right now that He is at the right hand of the Father? Well, let's look at a few reasons on this. Firstly, because He sustains a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. Have you read in your Bible? I hope you have. I know you have. When the Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. I've got three texts for that right now. Romans 8, 9, Galatians 4, 6, 1 Peter 1, 11. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because He has this special relationship with the Lord Jesus. And because He indwelt the Lord Jesus in fullness and without measure. Let's look back at John 3 and verse 34. John 3:34. For He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto Him. So here now we have the Trinity in this verse. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Father is giving the Holy Spirit to the Son, not with measure, unlimited, infinitely. And so, all through the life of our Lord Jesus, from His incarnation, there is this indwelling of the Spirit in the Lord Jesus. That's amazing. It's wonderful. It's blessed. And so He is so related to the Lord Jesus that He is called the Spirit of Christ. He belongs to Him. He is sent by Him. He indwelt Him. And now that Jesus is gone to heaven, He is the vicar in the place of the Lord Jesus. So it's His work to be the revealer, to be the one who reveals the glory of the Lord Jesus. Third reason, because the Holy Spirit is granted us on the account of Christ's redeeming work. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 13. On the cross, by His sacrifice and His atonement, by answering the curse, the Lord Jesus bought the right of your body to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's read the verses now. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you see the chain connection there? The Lord Jesus was made a curse for us to redeem us. And then verse 14, that in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, in order that he might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the right or the possibility of the Holy Spirit ministering to us has been purchased by our Lord Jesus at the cross. And so it's His work now. Christ purchased the title deed of his children who are redeemed by the blood to be indwelt and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Got the message today that every believer needs to enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit within his heart. What an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus was helped by the Holy Spirit. That's something we need to really think about. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God incarnate, need the help of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's remember that there is a work of the Trinity in every aspect of God's work. In creation, it was the work of the Father, it was the work of the Son, and it was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and so on. Likewise, in redemption, all three persons were active. God the Father sent the Son, God the Son came in obedience to the Father, and then God the Holy Spirit came in all his fullness to strengthen the Son. Now, don't think that Jesus is weak, but there is this cooperation, there is this wonderful involvement of the Spirit of God in the life of the Lord Jesus. For example, we're told in Luke 4 that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the gospel. And that's what drives every preacher to his knees, because we each need the Holy Spirit in all his fullness. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, the preacher is totally helpless. Then let me ask, to what degree did Christ have the help of the Holy Spirit? Well, we're told there that it was without measure, because Jesus is infinite, the Holy Spirit is infinite, and so the Lord Jesus has the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit without measure. You can't calculate it. It is in infinite proportions. Now that brings us to this question. To what degree does the individual Christian have the help of the Holy Spirit? And that, of course, is by degree, just little by little. And every hour, every day, we need the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the Christian life. And even when we are in the Spirit and enjoying the power of the Spirit, there is a measure to it. It is limited because we're just finite beings. We couldn't even absorb or receive all the fullness. But praise God, we can have, to our capacity, a wonderful fullness of the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives as we seek to serve the Lord. Now, one more question, and that is, what is a vicar? I mentioned in the message today that the Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ.
And I did not say that it had anything to do with the Pope. The Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ, but that is utter nonsense. The Bible tells us here that the Holy Spirit is the vicar, or the one acting in the place of the Lord Jesus right now in the world. And so it is not the Pope, it is the third person of the Trinity, the blessed Holy Spirit, who now is the representative of Christ on earth, fulfilling his will and building his church. And upon that we lean. And therefore, the true presence and help of God the Holy Spirit in our worship and service for God is absolutely essential. And I trust that you will seek that even today. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we ask earnestly that you would be gracious to grant us a fresh help of God the Holy Spirit within our souls and within our ministries. Let there be nothing that will drive the Holy Spirit from our breast, nothing to grieve thee. But we therefore plead the power and cleansing of Jesus' blood. And as we enjoy the cleansing of that blood, we pray for the Spirit of God to be dwelling, living within our hearts and enabling us to live the Christian life to the full. Lord, remember those who feel their weakness. They may be feeling downcast. Oh, we thank thee that there is power, there is grace to be had, there is an anointing to be had from God, that men and women might live not in their own strength, but in the very victory of Calvary through the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I plead with thee today to bless your people and send the Holy Spirit unto us in newness and freshness, that we might live the Christian life and see thy church brought into wonderful blessing. We want to be like John, who in the Isle of Patmos was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How we need each and every Christian to be in the Spirit. Do it today, Lord, and bless each heart. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.